Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. And my co-host for the program is Stone Payton, a vital cog at Business Radio X with his own show, High Velocity Radio. Good morning, Stone.
Good morning, sir. How you been doing? I hadn't seen you in a couple weeks.
Well, I'm doing great. How was parent orientation?
It was a blast. I want to go back to school. You know that I took my Katie to the University of Georgia, Athens, last week. And now I think I could really appreciate college. I could sit in the quad, read a book. It was a beautiful campus. If you haven't been, you ought to just go visit. I did not walk through the arches because I don't want to, you know, curse myself from not.
Well, my son's a graduate of UGA. I went through what you went through. I'm understanding all of this, yes.
But I so want to go back to college now. I wasn't ready the first time around.
You are now.
It was a blast. I loved it. Yeah.
That's great. Well, I want to tell our people that are listening, because they obviously can't see since this is radio, we have a photojournalist in the studio this morning, Lisa Zuzanyika. You won't hear her voice, but she's going to be taking photos throughout the show. Our hope is to post some of them to the Right Here, Right Now website later. If she doesn't break the camera on me, we'll hope she'll take a shot or two of you, Stone.
Well, she looks like she knows what she's doing because she has that light thingy in one hand and the camera. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's the real deal. This is
She did this in the Air Force, was career Air Force photojournalist, and has some really impressive credentials and great stories. Now, if I could just get her to write a book, I could bring her on the show and
there you
talk. And she's now laughing. Well, today we're going to look at how writing a book can impact your career. One of our guests, Charles Green, had and has a very successful career in business world and has published the third edition of his book. Our other guest, Jim Hogan, is one of nine contributors to a book which helped him launch a new career. So we're going to begin our conversation with Charles. Charles Green worked in his parents' I love this. He worked in his parents' small business by the age of eight and often listening in on board meetings around the dinner table. I can relate to that. My dad was a small business owner. Today, Charles is an eminent authority on small businesses with over 30 years of advising, financing, and investing in small business owners and entrepreneurs. His experience includes years as a commercial banker, venture capitalist, business advisor, and business owner, and he founded and served as president and CEO of Sunrise Bank of Atlanta. He's advised clients from 30 countries and served as a corporate director for several businesses in the United States, Mexico, and Europe. His book is The SBA Loan Book, The Complete Guide to Getting Financial Help Through the Small Business Administration. And it is complete. I've looked through it. There is a lot in there. Welcome, Charles.
Well, thank you. It's glad to be here, Dr. Tim.
Thank you. What was the motivation to write the SBA Loan Book?
In 1995, I was in the second year of owning my own business. I had a commercial loan business that we were like a department without a bank.
So I like that.
We originated loans and found an appropriate lender to take them to and get them funded. And we were the first to go to work and the last to get paid. Much of our work was with SBA guaranteed loans, and during 1995, there was a lot of the revolution going on in Washington, and funding for the SBA program ran short three times, and the program was shut down temporarily. So we had a lot of time on our hands that we weren't getting paid for, and I invested that idle time to just taking an idea to fruition to answer a lot of questions that people always came to me with, and I spent a lot of time giving free consulting to my clients who couldn't get financing, who did not qualify for one reason or another.
Oh, really?
So I would counsel them on, after spending an hour or 2 hours to hear their story, I would say, we can't get this financing yet, and here's what you need to do in the next 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. And that was just a lot of free consulting. So I put it on paper, and I could reference that to say, go to Barnes & Noble, and you can find the roadmap as to what you need to do to get this loan approved.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So you were giving free consulting, but then you knew, and I don't want to sound like you set it up, but you knew that this book would eventually be available. They could get it, could follow through on it.
Right. I published the book for that purpose, to have something in writing that they would have the exact instructions on what needed to be done, how to prepare themselves for funding, the qualifications that a lender is going to put before them to get their loan done.
There is just a ton of information, graphs, and charts in here. You're in the third revision. Why the revisions?
Took you that long to get it right, huh?
That had to be stone.
Right, right. Actually, if you can imagine this, have you ever known of a federal agency to change the rules?
Once in a while, yeah.
Well, the SBA enables me to have a revision every year if I sold enough books. There's always something changing. There's a new evolution of closing procedures. There's new qualifications. As a matter of fact, this book already has some revisions I can make to it, and the next version will come out quicker. But the original book came out in 1999. There was a predecessor in 1996, but the SBA loan book was in 99, revised in 2005, and now revised in 2011. The next one will probably be 2013.
What does it take for you to revise this? You just need to keep attuned to what the SBA is doing. I mean, there is so much information in here. You know what the changes are. How do you track the changes?
Well, if you've been doing it for 20 years, it's easy to track the big picture. I don't go down into the minutiae in the book of every little rule and every little procedure. The relationship between the Small Business Administration and the lender is between them. The borrower never talks to the SBA. So the purpose of the book, though, is to help you understand the constraints that the lender has before them to make a guaranteed loan. And in that way, you don't get as impatient with the process. People say the SBA is too much paperwork and too much process. It's no different than a conventional loan for the borrower. The lender has some procedure to get through, but they have an incentive, which is a 75% guarantee of that balance. So they have plenty of incentive to go through that little bit of extra effort.
Okay.
And that extra effort, by the way, is automated on software, so it's not like you're reinventing the wheel.
Well, so what's the biggest mistake you think that most small business people make if they don't take advantage of having somebody like you in their corner? What are some of the main mistakes that they tend to make when they go after one of these kind of loans?
They don't understand what they want or what they need. That they have in their idea of fixation, I need $500,000 to start this business. Well, tell me where that money is needed. And when you get them to list out and really go through and analyze the exact money they need $200,000. But they're so anxious to jump, make that leap, to start up. They don't do their homework to really understand what their own value proposition is, what their ambition is, and what it's going to cost to get there.
That's a challenge, and your book helps them through that.
I believe so.
Well, you wrote this because you had some downtime.
Right.
Has writing this book given you a lot of uptime, should we say?
It's been the best business card I've ever had. There's something very strange about the buying public, but if it's published, then you must know what you're talking about. If you have a op-ed in the newspaper, or you publish a book, or you write a brochure, you must know what you're talking about because it's in writing.
But it's a big secret, right? But no,
I read about 25 books a year. And a lot of that is fiction, and a lot of it is business books and other topics. A lot of people publish a lot of garbage that's not correct, that is opinionated, or it's just fluff. Someone handed me a book a few years ago. Is that this is the Bible of sales. This is the greatest thing I've ever read. And the guy said nothing. He said, okay, in the first chapter, I'm going to tell you this. Then I told you that. Chapter 2. In the last chapter, I told you this. This next chapter, I'm going to tell you that. Now, let's go back and recount. I told you this. Then I told you that. In the next chapter, I'm going to tell you whatever. So the whole book is just a lot of fluff over basically what should be 10 pages. And it's not that good when he gets to the this, that, and whatever.
I like hearing that because there is a lot of that stuff out there.
Sure.
I've been handed books with great pride by the author, and I begin to read them, and 5 pages in, I just put it down and walk away. But what, as you know, what I try to do here is to get credible authors, and you certainly fit that bill. How do you use the book? We talk about a book as a great business card. Do you literally hand this out when you go places?
No.
Okay.
I don't give it away because it is a value-driven book. And frankly, for most of, you know, the last 30 years, I've had a pretty rigid full-time gig that kept me very occupied.
Mm-hmm.
I have retired from banking and set up an enterprise in the last year to teach entrepreneurs about small business finance.
Oh, my.
It's called the Small Business Finance Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And I offer seminars, conferences, and workshops to teach people those little lessons about cash flow and a cash cycle and what makes them fundable.
Mm-hmm.
There is an SBA workshop, which I do, and tuition includes a copy of the book.
Okay.
I've got an event coming up next month called the Financial Boot Camp.
Well, talk to us about that.
The boot camp will be a 2-day workout, if you would, to help small business owners really understand finance. What is finance? What are sort of the elementary fundamentals of that sport? How do you become fundable? What's the deal with third-party funding? Why are there investors? Why are there lenders? And why does everybody have money but me?
Yeah.
And we will walk through the 3 different stages, you know, 3 most important sources of capital. Everybody knows investors. Everybody knows lenders. People forget about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where funding has to start. Sometimes you can have this imaginary, I need $500,000. I need $2 million. Or you can stop and be more realistic about how much do you really need and how much do you want? And if you need something, you should get it and know what you should pay for it. If you don't know what you need, you're never going to find it because the people who have it are going to know better than to give it to you.
Run that by me again. I like that image, and I think we need to hear that again.
People just believe they need money. They think that money is going to go buy success in a business.
Mm-hmm.
And a good analogy I give is I had people come into the bank with a great-looking $200 business card, and it would say, I'm Charles Green, founder, chairman of the board, CEO, president, and former premier of this business.
Mm-hmm.
And I would read those titles out loud to them and say, wow, this must be a pretty big organization. How many employees do you have? Well, it's just me right now.
Uh-huh.
So they really were in love with the image of being in business more than having thought through, what is it I'm going to do that people should pay me for?
Uh-huh.
What's the service? What's the product?
There you go. And your financial boot camp is going to help them understand all that.
I believe it will.
Get a better perspective. Well, you have another book coming out. Is that right?
That's right. McGraw-Hill and I have worked on a book called Get Funding Now. Manuscript just went in, and it should be on the market by January of 2012.
That's exciting. McGraw-Hill, that's a serious publisher.
It is. I'm very excited to work with him.
You're in the big leagues now, huh?
I just hope I can stay there.
That's great. The title is pretty clear, but tell us what's going to be in it. How would we benefit by getting a copy of that?
The SBA loan book is a narrow book about, you know, geared toward SBA financing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Get Funding Now broadens the scope to talk about investment capital, angel investors, even some information about initial public offerings, venture capital. The debt side of that equation goes to talking about government guaranteed loans as well as conventional bank debt, working capital financing, leasing, all the different products and how they're distinguishable from each other,
mm-hmm.
which will help small business owners define exactly what kind of capital they need. And then there's a longer discussion about self, about how to reduce the need to get third-party funding, strategies that you can employ both operating your business and minimalizing your needs so that you're not out there looking for a $500,000 when you need $200,000.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's a good point. Well, I'm going to make an offer that I have not given to anybody else yet, and that is you let me know when that book's out. We'll bring you back on. And you can promote that book and talk to us more about it. Question I want to share or ask of you, you kind of touched on it earlier, but since I'm in the writing business, it triggered. You said, I don't give my book away. Now, you certainly have experienced, well, Charles, where's my copy? I went to fifth grade with you X number of years ago. We have to buy our own books, don't we?
That's right.
And so it's... as much as we would love to give everybody a free copy, it's money out of our pocket.
Well, when people say, what's it take to get your book? I say it's simple. Visa, MasterCard, American Express.
That's a good answer. Yeah. Okay. That's great. How do people get in touch with you? If they want to buy your book, if they want to sign up for the boot camp, if they want to talk with you about maybe how you can help them, what would be the best way for them to be with you?
The book is available, of course, at bookstores everywhere, but you can get directly from me at sbaloanbook.com. And that is also my main website, that my contact information is there.
Oh, that's good. That's easy. sbabook.com or loanbook.
SBALoanBook.com.
Good.
And then Financial Bootcamp is financial/bootcamp.com. And that'll take to the Small Business Finance Institute website. Mm-hmm. More information about me and more information about other programs offered by the Institute.
Well, that's good. Well, I appreciate your being here. I'm going to ask you to sit tight for a while I turn to our other guest, and then we'll open up the mics, huh?
Hey, can we ask him one more set of questions?
Well, yeah, you can, since it's just you, Stone. Yes, go ahead.
Before we went on the air, though, you were talking about this Pan-African thing.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, if you don't mind.
Sure. I've been involved with the international community for the last dozen years and have been a member of probably a dozen bilateral chambers of commerce, the French American, the British American Business Group, the Swiss American Chamber, and so forth. One of the absences in the marketplace are any kind of business organization that represents countries in Africa. Mm. And a couple of friends of mine, a former client who is a native of Nigeria, approached me about the idea of a Nigerian American Chamber of Commerce. And as we discussed the idea, I suggested that we really take in more of the whole continent. Pan-African is a catchphrase to kind of talk about all of the 54 countries in Africa. And we expanded that to include the entire diaspora of the Caribbean Basin, the 37, 31 countries down there that have roots ancestrally from Africa. So we have established a Chamber of Commerce, which we call multilateral. And our goal is to make this a national platform to provide a pathway for entrepreneurs to find the goal of getting to business in Africa, connecting entrepreneurs there with the entrepreneurs here. We had our first kickoff meeting in May. We've already hosted a trade mission from Nigeria, and we're planning on a regional business summit in March of 2012, that right now we have a tentative, the governor of Lagos, tentatively is going to join us. We've got economic representatives from Cameroon, Ghana, Zambia, and Liberia that are planning to be there.
Well, that's exciting. I'm glad you asked that question.
Well, you've got some African
history yourself, right? Yeah, I lived in Ghana, West Africa from 1978 to 81, and my first child was born over there, and I keep those strong connections. And so when you listed, you said Ghana's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 we like that.
Well, we're starting on the closest coast, which mm-hmm. Senegal and, mm-hmm. and Ghana are the closest to you.
That's great. That's great. Now, you done, Stone?
Yes, sir, I'm done.
For the time being. Okay, now we're going to move on over. Jim Hogan recently joined the Referral Institute of Atlanta as a trainer and business coach after a long career in the mortgage industry. And during his tenure in the mortgage business, Jim created a boot camp style. That seems to be a theme this morning, boot camp. Doesn't
yeah.
It? Wow. Are you going to have a boot camp, Stone?
No, I don't have that kind of work ethic.
Oh, good.
Okay. We're going to have a host certification get together in a week or so, but we're not going to have a boot camp.
Good. I like that one. Okay. Sorry, Jim. We'll get back on track here. But you developed a course which contributed to the success of some of the nation's best and most ethical mortgage lenders. That seems like a non sequitur, but...
I've never heard of that.
I've never heard that phrase before. Not those words all together like that.
Yeah.
That's the image in the world right now. But reality is there's still some very, very good lenders out there.
Well, we're glad to hear that. Well, a little over a year ago, Jim, you joined with eight others in a collaborative effort to write the book Improv to Improve Your Business, using the principles of improvisation to foster communication, creativity, and innovation. And, of course, the editor of the book is Vanessa Lowry, who's the permanent guest host of Right Here, Right Now. And you say that the writing adventure opened new doors to your creativity and to a job offer. Is that right?
It sure did. I'm here now. I'm working for the Referral Institute, helped build that business here locally and as far as we can make that reach, too. And you got to start somewhere, and I bet if you walked into any room, even we go to any of the bilateral chambers or even the Global Connect meeting that's coming up here, and you ask the question, who wants to write a book? And you know that answer, Tim, because everyone goes, I'd love to write a book.
And that's when they say, and Tim will help you do it.
That, you're the man.
You got it. Good, good, good.
You're the man.
Well, talk a little bit more about really seriously. Yeah, we talked with Charles, and out of his work, he created a book that's helped to expand his business. You contributed to a book that got you a new job.
And I think that's a big piece of that, because I went into improv. I'm in a business, and the banking business is not that exciting. It's highly stressful, mm-hmm. and you're looking for releases. And I'm pretty creative. I'd like to learn. I read maybe not 25 books, but I'm probably close to that a year. And I just love reading, learning, and taking improv was a step outside of something that I would normally do. And everyone goes, how can you do that? It's so hard. You watch them on TV. It's not that hard when you learn, when you have a teacher that teaches you right, the correct way of doing things. And there's rules in improv. That's what the principles are. It's you trust. You
There's
trust.
There's rules in improv.
You would never know it. They make it look so natural, don't they?
Mm-hmm. They do. Well, what would be some of those rules?
Well, I mean, one of them, trust. Agree on stage. Don't disagree. That creates argument and not agreement.
Mm-hmm.
We play a game called yes and. So, and that's part of the business thing. If you could get more people thinking the positive side of a question or an answer versus the negative side, people's minds would start opening up. So let's you can say, I see a blue, a big balloon. And instead of going, it's green. Well, that's the negative side. You could say, I see a blue balloon. Somebody says, yes, and it has stars on it. Now you get agreement, and people start, and you can just open up and keep going and going. And it's flying there, and it has a mouse hanging from the end of the line, and the mouse is screaming, holding a sign. Yes, and all of a sudden, if you took a boardroom, and I don't care how stuffy that boardroom is, and you could get people to agree and start looking at their mind opens up, and all of a sudden, they're thinking down roads where they might not go. And I think that's an interesting way to do that.
That gets the creativity flowing.
It sure does,
Well, what was the nature of your chapter in the book?
Well, mine is enthusiasm, and I think anybody hangs around with me knows I'm a pretty positive person, and I can get enthusiastic about a lot of stuff, and you never know, one of the things, one of the principles is listen, and if people aren't listening, and I'll call it active listening, if people are not actively listening to who they're with, especially if you're in sales, if we're not communicating. We might have a conversation, but we're not communicating. Am I trying to push something on you, or am I trying to understand you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's anybody that's been in sales understands that, but not everyone does it, even if they understand it. So, I was last September, I was over in Central Europe doing a river cruise on the Danube River.
Oh, good. I've read this story in your book. I want you to tell it. I'm glad you went into it.
Yeah.
Tell it. Stone, you're going to love this.
Yeah. So, you know, you go to a foreign country and you have to deal with, you know, people. And I will tell you, I don't care what the world says. People love Americans because we have money.
So, or most of us.
So you go over and you pay for things and they love to see you. And everyone was just so pleasant. It didn't matter. And, you know, you go and talk with people. And, on the street, it doesn't matter. So we're having fun. This river cruise started in Budapest, Hungary.
Mm-hmm.
Day number two, we end up in Vienna, Austria. And the music capital of the world. History, the U.S. doesn't know history. We're how many hundreds of years old? You go to Europe and you're looking at thousands
and
millennia. I mean, it's amazing. You look around and you go, wow. You know, that Central Europe, you know, the Turks came up and took away. And then they, you know, somebody else. I mean, it's been a battleground forever. You know, and so just taking all that in. So we're in music capital. We go to a chamber orchestra concert, a Vienna chamber orchestra concert. And it's a small, probably 8 pieces, you know, from the guy playing a violin. And this was it's a very old Stradivarius. So, you know, and they've got the clarinet player all the way on the other side, you know, a piano and all kinds of different. So it's quite interesting. Probably about 100 or maybe 200 people in the room. And it's stuffed pretty tight, a small room. And the music was amazing. I mean, when they just capture. At the very beginning, a MC comes in and introduces everybody. The orchestra leader, not a word, never talked to anybody. He just had control. He had control over the audience. He had control over all his players. So we have a small intermission, and everyone goes out. And when we come back in, he brings up a little tiny triangle, you know, one of those little things you do as a kid, you know, do you want to go into the...
Hey, now you're getting personal. That's a percussion instrument. I was a percussionist. There is a proper way to play a triangle. Go ahead.
As I found out.
Yes.
But he stands up there and he hands the triangle to the clarinet player. Not a word. And he says, and they're looking at each other, and the clarinet player's looking perplexed. Of course, this is the show, and everyone's, you know, humming and what's going on. And he turns back around to us, and he just stands there. And, of course, I knew he wanted a volunteer. Well, I'm with in the River Cruise, you know, an older crowd. So even I'm in my 50s, I'm probably one of the younger ones in there. So I raised my hand, and I'm with my wife and mother-in-law, and we're just having a blast. And I raised my hand, and everyone goes, oh, my gosh. And so I get up, and he waves me up to stage. I go up to stage, and he hands me the triangle. So I hit it once, and he smiles. And I hit it once or twice, and he takes it back for a second, and he looks at me, and he just rhythmically goes, ding, ting, 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 just, and I knew what he wanted. He was giving me a gift. He was telling me what he wanted. Now, I went on stage because I trusted that he would make me look good. I really did. I had no fear at all.
Wow.
So here I am, music capital of the world, standing on stage, you know, hundreds of people watching me going, oh. So I start just ding, 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 ding. And he picks up, you know, he takes his violin and he starts playing to my rhythm. So I'm percussion for him. And he is playing his Stradivarius and he plays what's called a little tic-tac polka. It's about 2 minutes worth of music. And we were standing and I was giving him gifts too because he was standing there looking at me, and he puts one foot forward. And then he does a little bow, and I do a bow. So I'm playing to the audience. I'm having a blast. And so we go through that 2 minutes, and he, you know, I thanked him, you know, bowed to him, bowed to the orchestra there, and bowed to the audience, and went back to my seat, and the hums are woo-woo. Well, the interesting, you know, so it was quite interesting, and I had no fear at all. I was not scared. So going back to the ship, over the next few days, everyone knew who I was. Oh, you were the one up on stage.
Of course they would know. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. You know, like I don't like to be in the center stage somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, put me there. I'll just keep going. So we had, I was known on the ship, and not a large ship, but just enough, you know, people knew you. You go to breakfast and you sit there and somebody come over and chat with you for a while. So it was quite interesting.
That was great.
Most of the people thought it was set up. Most of the people thought I was a setup. And I had to explain to them that it wasn't. Well, there were some doctors from Gainesville, Florida, that were on a trip after a conference over, and I think they were in Barcelona or something for their oncology doctors, and I think it was a Florida radiology oncology mm-hmm. group. I mean, and there was four doctors there and their wives, and we had the best time, and they wanted to know how I did that and how it was so comfortable up on stage. And so I started talking to them about improv and mm-hmm. how it worked and how it really is part of business and how if people were, you know, could open up their creativity, businesses can grow. And they, I mean, it's amazing. We had conversations for 5 or 6 days.
So the doctors were trying to figure out how to use improv as medical practitioners.
And I will tell you, I think, you know, in the, they do actually, I found out, because how they have to converse with people. I mean, people have to trust them so deeply when you go into a situation like that. And it's amazing how they, you know, how they communicated. And it was we had such a great conversation, too. So,
well, how do we take that trust and that communication and apply it to the Referral Institute? Probably would be helpful. Now, I know this will be a challenge for you, but in 30 seconds or less.
Right.
What's the Referral Institute?
Well, the Referral Institute is a nationwide organization. We're working here in the Atlanta area. Our goal is to teach and help people realize profitability through referral networks.
Mm, okay.
Everybody you know knows somebody you need to know. What are they? You know, mm-hmm. 2 degrees of separation, and it can make the difference between a successful business and a not successful business. You just have to ask for help, which is where I started saying, I'm changing careers. I went out of the mortgage business. What do I want to do? I love the training piece. I love creativity. And I started telling people what I wanted. And I've known Emil Paradis, who's here today, for years, mm-hmm. but never really thought about talking to him about going to work. So a mutual friend says, you need to talk to Emil. I also got a referral to another organization up in Alpharetta here that said, you need to go talk to these people. And I did, and I had opportunities. And more than one opportunity, it's interesting, and then you get to say, which one do I want?
Well, that's exciting.
It is.
And I want to draw a connection just because it's my show. But writing about your creativity helped you open up to the creativity in your own life and how you can take that into the workplace.
Oh, very much so. I mean, in fact, I'm working on another one that we'll be able to chat about down the road. It's in the outline stage right now.
Oh, that's exciting.
I'll keep it a secret so there's...
Nobody will be in anticipation of it, right?
Well, maybe somebody would want to steal the idea.
Oh, jeez. I hear that more often. I'm sorry I mutter, but you know, people are so afraid, and you know that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, because action is the difference. Somebody could think something if they don't take the action.
That's right.
I mean,
right.
If
that's
they don't put it on paper and they don't do what they say they're going to do, mm-hmm. it's gone.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Well, what if people want to be in contact with you? They want to get a copy of the book or ask about your writing, your working adventure, learn about the Referral Institute. What should they do?
Oh, that's easy. You can do a couple things. My name is Jim Hogan. You can go to Amazon and actually just search for Jim Hogan, and it will come up. My mother was just amazed when I said...
It's impressive, isn't it?
Oh, she's like, oh, my gosh, you know, you're a published author.
Or my son, my son.
And I will never say I just wrote one chapter, because out of the 9, I know 8 of the other co-authors who we did improv with. Mm-hmm. So when you get to know those people and you get to collaborate, the ideas and the principles are deep. And I mean, that's business, where you connect with someone in sales, in whether it's on the same team or you're trying to sell and communicate and create a relationship with someone else. That's what it is. And I know those people, and we could walk into a theater and mm-hmm. do improv.
And do your thing.
We could.
So if I don't want to get the book by going to Amazon, I just want to talk to you and maybe get an autograph copy. What's my next route?
That's easy. All you got to do is send a email to Jim Hogan. Mm-hmm. At jimhogan.net.
.net.
Yes, .net. So Jim Hogan at jimhogan.net. And would love to communicate.
I'm just fascinated with both of these people today. I don't know about you, Stone, but I mean,
he caught me by surprise, because all of the books, if you wanted a book from me, you would need to actually contact my mom. That's all the books that I sold are in Pensacola in mom's garage. And, That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is. Would either of you like to challenge the other with a question or a concept? Or?
Well, I think is taking basically an art form and applying it to business is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I serve as chair of the Fulton County Arts Council, so I'm very attuned into all of the performing arts and the arts, you know, the visual art, dance, and movement, and so forth. And my best friend is a amateur comic who took Jeff Justice's class and has done an improv class and entered a couple of competitions and got to perform at Zany's in Chicago, performed at Second City in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And is hilarious. But you've taken it and back to the boardroom, and your thoughts about how those techniques used on stage can apply into a boardroom are fascinating. I would love to have met you when I had to deal with a board every month.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
That's right.
You know, it is. Thank you very much for that, Charles. And you know, being in the lending business, in a mortgage business for so long, I kept thinking about going into SBA lending. I know a couple lenders and plenty of people at banks and things. And I just never made that jump. So maybe we would have had another conversation at some point. But the world is very different in lending right now, and a tough marketplace that you have to be better, not just from the lending side, but from the borrowing side.
Question came to my mind. There are different dimensions of the Referral Institute. There's an 8-week or 10-week program. Did you do that?
I am right in the middle of that as we speak.
Oh, you're having fun then, aren't you?
Oh, yes. You know, and of course, when you're sitting here and you get put on the spot, my brain just went, took a blank stare. We have a couple programs. The introductory program is called Referral Success 101, and it's basically open your mind. It says, is this something that I need to go deeper into? And people will decide whether they do or don't. They, you know, there's two or three different ways people can do it. They can get those ideas and they can implement them themselves. Mm-hmm. Some people will be successful. Some might not be successful. The next step is the certified networker. And that is a 11-week program, I believe. And it is every week about an hour and a half's worth of class going through everything from market planning through even conversations, how to talk to people a bit better, how to work in a networking organization, whether it's formal or not, how to go to a networking event and get something out of it. You know, you have to go in with expectations and a goal. You can't just go in blank. I mean, professionals succeed because they're professionals. They're not amateurs. They just wing it. So if you're a professional networker and need to get to somebody, you've done your research.
You find
ahead.
A way to do it.
You've done your research ahead of time so you can walk in. We have mastermind meetings for people that people have been through the class. So we have mastermind meetings ongoing a couple times a week and other classes. And we're developing some others as we go, too.
I'm grinning as you say that because I just realized that I'm part of a mastermind group. I'm actually a certified networker, am I not?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Emil's over here shaking his head. Yes, yes, yes. I took the training through Emil, and it is powerful.
Tim's a star student. I had to chime in. He is.
He is a rock star student. Well, I wanted to ask you, what were you looking for? What kind of characteristics, traits were you looking for when you made this hire? And what is it about Jim that was so compelling?
It's pretty interesting. One of the things I have clients do is write a customer persona. What's the perfect customer? All the attributes that a perfect customer would have. And it's usually a composite of a bunch of different things, rarely found in a single person. I have a couple of great categories of great Referral Institute trainer. Jim fits almost all the criteria in one of those categories with his background, the things he's done, his attitude, you know, just this, his improv and the utilization of that, of the creativity of bringing another aspect of business development into the Referral Institute. So, you know, he hit a lot of check marks down there. One of them is good clients for me, good people, and Charles mentioned it, and that's what we call the lifelong learner. people who read, people who go to seminars, people who are out learning new ways all the time. And that's that guy right there.
Great. Gee, what a commercial.
For both.
Well, yeah, exactly. It must be you too, though. If you're a certified networker, I mean, because I get the sense that this is a genuinely arduous, structured, rigorous process that you went through to become a certified networker.
Yeah? It can be. I mean, you can blow it off like anything, but then you waste your time and your money. But really working with Emil and learning how to effectively network. And then when I came on board with Business Radio X, the ideas that you and Lee were sharing with me and Bernie, I was able to take my training from the Referral Institute and apply it to what you've encouraged me to do, and it's just been success after success.
Well, I think the value system and the worldview is wholly consistent with what we're trying to do here with Business Radio X and what you guys are doing, it seems to be. Yep. And now that you know this gentleman, you can go get some money. But you don't need as much as you think you do.
That's right. That's right. And you know, when we go off the air here shortly, I know what's going to happen is that Charles and Emil and Jim are going to talk, and there's a really good chance that some business may develop among them from that. And that's what goes on every week when we do a show like this.
Yeah.
There's the conversation afterward. And so there's some intentionality about this. I, of course, delight in having authors come on and talk about what they're doing. To get this kind of a benefit is so exciting. But, you know, the clock is on us. I welcome your comments and suggestions about content and about our guests. If any of you that are listening would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Just simply send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Stone, for co-hosting. Being back in the saddle with me, it's been great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thanks for letting me play, man.
Yeah. Thank you to our guests, Charles Green and Jim Hogan. Charles, your contact information?
They can reach me at charles@charlesgreenco.com.
Got it. And Jim?
Jim Hogan at jimhogan.net.
And Emil, since you talked, we're going to throw you a curve. People want to talk to you about Referral Institute. What would they do?
They can go to referralinstituteatlanta.com. It'd be a great place to start.
Good, good. Well, Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services at www.rightchoiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week. Tell your friends about the show. In fact, send them an email right now to invite them to listen live or to listen to the downloads. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. at righthererightnow.businessradiox.com, and the MP3 version is available later in the day. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business. Right Here, Right Now.